And let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter number, actually 18 and 19. Matthew 18 and 19. And you can also grab, if you want to, Mark, the next book, chapter 10. Matthew is the first book, the New Testament. We're going to go to chapter 18 and 19 there. And then Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. Just put a bookmarker in Mark 10, and we'll get there eventually. We'll begin in Mark 19, actually, I believe. All right? We have something in this church that's absolutely priceless, and I just want to share it with you tonight. We have something in this church. It's a tangible object, and it's priceless. It's got more value than the pews you're sitting in. It's got more value than those chandeliers. It's got more value than the woodwork of this beautiful building. In fact, the commodity that we have here is so valuable that really I don't believe that we could put a price on it. And this thing is so valuable, no matter how bad a shape we were in financially, we would never give this up. What am I talking about? What could be more valuable than the chandeliers, the pews, the building? What is it that could be so priceless? What is it that no matter how bad a shape we were in, we would never give it up? What am I talking about? Let's bring up a picture. Right there. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. That's what I'm talking about. The children of this church. If I were to show you the future dreams and plans and aspirations of this church, I wouldn't take you to our bank account statements. I wouldn't take you to blueprints showing the site plan for future buildings. If I want to show you the future of this church, let's bring it back up. That is what I would show you right there. That's the future of Crossroads, right there. There's our future. You know, we sing that song, Jesus loves the what? Little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Where do we get that from? Is that just something somebody made up? No, we get it from the Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Let me show you where we get that from. Matthew 19, verse 13. Matthew 19, 13. Then were there brought unto Him, unto Christ, little children, that He should put His hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Have you ever noticed sometimes Peter and the 12 were knuckleheads? Have you ever noticed that? They just did some knucklehead stuff, you know, and it lets me know there's hope for me, you know. In verse 14, it says, but Jesus said, suffer, that means allow the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And He laid His hands on them and departed thence. So it's true, Jesus does love the little children. Amen, church? The disciples made a big mistake here. Peter and James and John and the 12 made a big mistake. Instead of leading the little ones to Jesus, they showed a non-caring attitude. They portrayed the image that, hey, us and Jesus, we're too busy to be messing around with little kids. We're too busy. The result is they got a stinging rebuke from the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we as a church should be committed to leading the little ones to Jesus Christ. I believe we need to be committed to that. We need to be committed to our children's ministry here. Why? Number one, because children are close to the heart of Jesus. I want you to go over to Mark 10. Keep your bookmarker in Matthew here. We're going to come back. But go over to Mark chapter 10. Children are close to the heart of Jesus. I don't believe you can get any closer to His heart than when you're working with kids. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 13. Mark 10:13. And they brought what? Young children to him, to Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. How can you read a passage like that and not realize that children are close to the heart of Jesus Christ? Do you understand that Jesus is right in the middle of a deep doctrinal dissertation on marriage and divorce? He's interrupted by these young children. By the way, anytime you're discussing that, you welcome interruptions, let me tell you. And so he's interrupted in this deep doctrinal dissertation. He's interrupted by these kids. The disciples rebuke him. Shoo, you get out of here. Kids, can't you see the master's busy? He's talking right now and on doctrinal matters. Get out of here. He doesn't have time to mess around with a bunch of kids. And in verse 14, I want you to notice this. It says, but when Jesus saw it, he was what? Much displeased. You know what that means? If you look it up, it means he was moved with indignation. Let me paraphrase. He was flat out mad. He's real angry. And Matthew, remember we read he rebuked the disciples? Then after he rebukes the 12, of course they're just sitting there with egg on their face, you know. You can imagine how they felt. I mean, you know what it's like to be rebuked by anybody. Can you imagine Jesus rebuking you? And so they got egg all over their face. And then he picks up these little children in his arms and blesses them. You know, have you ever heard the expression, any friend of yours? In fact, I used it tonight, didn't I, Constance? Constance's sister is here from Rochester, New York. And it's great to have your sister with us. And when we were shaking hands, she introduced me to her sister, and I said, any friend of Constance's is a friend of mine. And you know, that's an expression that we use. And there's basically two different times in your Bible when Jesus basically said, if you're a friend of little children, you're a friend of mine. If you're a friend of kids, you're a friend of mine. One of them is Mark 9. Go back a chapter. Mark 9, verse 33. Mark 9:33. And he came to Capernaum. And being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves? By the way, asked the 12. But they held their peace. We're fixing to have egg on the face again, all right? For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest disciple. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, the little child, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, what? You're a friend of his? You're a friend of mine. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. The disciples are arguing about who's the greatest. Jesus gets this little child as an object lesson, sits this little kid in the midst. Says, you want to be great? All right, I'll tell you how to be great. You want to be my friend? I'll tell you how to be my friend. You want me to receive you? I'll tell you how you can get me to receive you. Points to the little child, says, be his friend. Clint, you ought to be amening me, son. Amen. Be his friend. Receive him and little ones like him, and you receive me, Jesus said. I'll tell you something right now. When I'm in here preaching Sunday morning, And our staff is over here working the nurseries. And our staff's over here working the children's churches. And our staff's over here working with these little kids in Sunday school class. It is every bit as important as what I'm doing in here. Just never forget that. Don't you ever forget that. In Matthew 18, go over there. Matthew 18, verse number 5. Basically, this is the second time when Jesus says, if you want to be my friend, then you be a friend of kids. Matthew 18, verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, now notice that, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Jesus says, you mess with these kids, you mess with me. It's better that a millstone were hanged about your neck and they toss you into the sea. And you're drowned, never to be heard from again in the depth of the sea. He says, if you despise them, and that word despise means to think against, to disesteem. You know, I've heard people say this, I just work with children at church. All I can do is work with the kids. Please don't ever let me hear you say that. And for sure, don't let Jesus hear you say that. Down in verse 10, he says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Whew. Children are close to the heart of Jesus. Y'all say that with me. Children are what? Close to the heart of Jesus. Y'all believe that? Say amen tonight. Do y'all think that we need to be friends to the little ones? Y'all think we need to be reaching the little ones? Yes. They're dear to the heart of Jesus. But number two, the second reason why we need to reach the little ones is number two, because they are easier to win to Christ than an adult. In Matthew 18, you're already there. Go to verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as what? Little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same as grace in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receive with me. You know what? You if you're saved tonight, you did not get saved until you came to the place where you humbled yourself as a child before. Some people downplay child conversions. I've heard people do that. Some people downplay maybe what we did tonight, presenting Bibles to these children who believed on Christ. And truly, honestly, a lot of times kids are too little and they don't understand sin. They don't understand the gospel. And of course, you can have a kid pray a prayer and that doesn't mean anything, just to have them repeat a prayer. But truly, do y'all believe tonight that a kid can come under conviction of their sin? See, we got to realize something here tonight. Now get with me. Jesus did not say that children must become as an adult in order to be converted, did he? He didn't say, little children, you got to become like adults in your understanding, and then you could be saved. No, he said kids are our example in how to be saved. He said that the adult has to become like the little child if they want to be saved. You see, children have not had years and years and years of being hardened by sin. They don't have all the old prejudices to overcome like adults do. They don't have all that baggage. You tell them the story of Jesus. You tell them about salvation. You explain to them they're a sinner, and they don't argue with you. They don't want to hold on to their sin. They don't say, "Brother Clint, I just want to sin a few more years and then I'll get saved." They just believe by faith the glorious message of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I'm looking for childlike faith in people. That's what I'm looking for." A famous preacher by the name of Torrey, R.A. Torrey, he said, "When I see a child walk into the counseling room, I feel quite certain that if a worker of any sense at all gets a hold of that child, he's going to be saved. But when I see a man or woman walk in there, I do not feel at all as sure." Every single year that goes by and a child is not reached, it becomes harder. They go through the school system. They get bathed in humanistic philosophy. They get brainwashed in the theory of evolution. They experience more and more sin as they get older. And the more they practice sin, the stronger the power of sin becomes in their lives. They get harder. They get harder. And it takes a lot more to break through. It takes a lot more prayer. It takes a lot more work. It takes a lot more witnessing in order to break through that hardened shell. I've met people who don't believe in childhood conversions. They say that we need to wait until they become an adult. In other words, what they're saying is, let's give Satan an 18-year head start on us. Let's let him be brainwashed by the world's philosophy. Let's let him be brainwashed and duped in Satan's world system. Let's let sin harden their heart real good, and then let's try to win them to Jesus Christ. That's the height of foolishness. Now, I realize and I understand that a child has to understand what sin is. You heard Pastor Rich say tonight that there were kids that came forward, and they took them to the back, and they just wanted to know where the candy was. And we send them right back, you know. But a child can come under conviction. They can see that you don't have to experience sin for years to know what sin is. You understand that? That you can know what sin is as a kid. Because one of the Ten Commandments is to honor and obey your what? What kid hasn't violated that? Right? And so I believe, you know, God put that there for a reason. And that's one of the Ten Commandments. What kid doesn't understand he's violated that command? What kid doesn't understand he broke one of the Ten Commandments about lying? Any kid, you know, when he gets to a place where he can understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and all that, trust me, he's lied by that time. Or she's lied. You say, "Not my, I trust my kid." That's a good one. Your kid will lie in a pinch like every other kid, because they've got that sin nature. And so I understand kids got to understand what sin is. We're not out for it. Look, we had a couple hundred kids come to VBS, and we had 8 decisions. So obviously we're not just trying to get kids to pray a prayer. I mean, there were times when you'd have 25 or 30 kids that would come forward. And out of all these, you know, we had 8 that truly were under conviction, understood sin, understood. And many of the kids were already saved, you understand. But there were 8 that trusted Christ. Don't ever downplay childhood conversions. Matthew 18:6. Look over there, Matthew 18:6. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me." Did you notice that? Which what? Believe in me. Can a kid believe in Christ? You better not downplay that. You better not discourage that kid. You better not despise them. You better receive them, Jesus said. Rejoice, glad, encourage them. It's the Father's will that we reach the children of this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, I don't understand why we've got these buses, and that takes money, and that takes insurance, and that, you know, and that takes gas, and we, you know, we struggle to get drivers, and I don't know why we don't just close those buses down. If those kids want to come to church, then they can find a way here. The bottom line is, if we didn't pick up those kids, they'd probably never darken the door of a church. And we've got people in our Bible Institute, we've got people and families in this church that have been reached through the bus ministry. Some of your leaders in the youth group came through the bus ministry. And now are working the bus ministry because they believe in it. Jesus said, you better not despise the little ones. Because any church that's a friend of them, friend of mine. Anybody that's a friend of them, friend of mine. Matthew 18, 14. Look at verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should what? Perish. Why should we as a church be committed to leading the little ones to Jesus? Because children are easier to win than an adult. How many of you trusted Christ as your Savior before you were, say, 10 or less? Raise your hand if 10 or less. What? Stand up. All of you, stand up. If you trusted Christ before 10 years of age, I want you to stand up. Now stay standing. Now I want you to look around. The rest of you look around. Y'all didn't really get saved, did you? I mean, what are you doing here tonight? You weren't supposed to have really gotten saved. You were too young. Don't you think we need to reach the little ones for Jesus? Look around here. Over half the... Okay, stay standing. How many of you got saved before you were 15? Join them. If you got saved before you were 15, stand up with them. Before you were 15. Wow. 3/4 of the church. The rest of you... Wait a minute. The rest that are seated... No, what you need to do is you need to praise the Lord. Because once you get over 15, the odds, the statistics show you're not very likely to get saved. So you know what? Those of you who are seated, boy, you better praise the Lord. You can be seated. I thought that'd be a great illustration tonight to show you how important it is what our children's workers are doing. The last thing I want to share with you is this. Why do we need to reach the little ones for Jesus? Not only because children are near to the heart of Christ, not only because children are easier to bring to Christ than an adult, but number three, because children can be greatly used by God. In Matthew 18:2, it says there, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Jesus takes a little child and uses him as a valuable object lesson. As we look into the Bible, we see children being greatly used by God. What about Samuel? We studied 1 Samuel last year, didn't we? Remember Samuel? Samuel, in childhood, was greatly used by God as he was Eli, the priest, right-hand man. You remember Eli lost his own kids to the devil? And Samuel, as a little child, assisted him in the tabernacle. And then as a child, as a youth, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And he went on to become one of the greatest men of God in the Bible. Started as a child. When God called Samuel as a kid, and he said, "Samuel, Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Have you ever noticed that children don't argue? They listen to the Lord. As adults, if God was to say to us, you know, "Hello there. I'm busy, God. Can't you see I'm watching TV? I'm busy, Lord. I got to go to work. I'm busy, God. I got to make some more money. I'm busy, God. I'm going to the mall." But when God calls a little child, isn't it precious how their hearts are tender? Their hearts are soft. How about David? Saul looked at David and he said, "Thou art but a youth." He despised David's youth. But boy, that sure didn't keep God from using David, did it? How about Josiah? You say, who in the world's Josiah? Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign over Israel. Did you know Josiah was 8 when he began to reign as king? And he was one of the greatest kings you'll find in the Old Testament. Did you know Josiah, as an 8-year-old, reigning as king, during his reign, he found the law, he repaired the temple, he instituted Passover again, and he single-handedly reformed wicked Israel. 8 years old. The same could be said of Joash. He was 7 years old. He became a mighty king, one of the best kings. How about in John 6:9, when Jesus needed to feed 5,000 people? Does anybody remember how that all started? A lad. A lad who was just had a tender heart and was willing to share his lunch with Jesus. In Acts 23, there was a murder plot against Paul. Does anybody out there happen to remember how Paul's life was spared? His little nephew kept him from being murdered. I heard a story about a new missionary had gone to foreign soil, and he was examining some candidates that had said that they had, you know, gotten saved and now they wanted to join the church. And he examined all of them and he found their answers to be satisfactory. And he looked at the last candidate that wanted to join the church, and he suggested that maybe this one was a little bit too young, and that he needed to wait a while before, coming to the Lord and getting saved and coming into the church. And immediately, all the other ones that he talked to protested, and they said, "Oh, no, 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 missionary. It was him that led us to the Lord. It was him that led us to the Lord." How many of you would like to have some rewards when you get to heaven? Give me a good amen. Would you like some rewards? Go to Matthew 10. You're already in Matthew. Go to Matthew 10. Let me show you. Matthew 10, verse 42, the last verse. Matthew 10, 42. "And whosoever," Jesus said, "shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his" what? Look up here, church. God will not forget that Sunday school class you labor over. God will not forget all that work you put in at VBS. God will not forget that junior church you taught. God will not forget that nursery ministry that you serve in. God will not forget that work you did in that Awana class. I'm so blessed, Mrs. Bohannon. Mrs. Bohannon, when she passed away this year, she was 89. And if you correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but didn't she start working in Awana? She worked in Awana 9 years, is that right? She started working with kids when she was 80 years old. She served 9 years in the Awana ministry. She is home with the Lord this year. Do you think she regrets spending that time with those kids? No. I believe Mrs. Bohannon has received rewards for her work with those kids. You remember when the disciples turned away the little children, Jesus rebuked them. Crossroads. Crossroads, listen to me. Leaders, listen to me. Children's workers, listen to me. Those of you who have looked at children's ministry and kind of looked at it, kind of, you know, frowned upon it, or kind of thought it wasn't that big a deal, we had better give our children a priority unless we want a stinging rebuke from Jesus Christ. And we need to decide today what's really important. And I'm not stupid enough to think what I'm doing in here is important, but what's going on over there with those kids is not. No, it's probably more important. You know, this morning we had like three people come forward and trust Christ in the services this morning. And that's a blessing. And sometimes we can get real happy about that and forget about the eight who trusted Christ in VBS. And we get more excited over the three adults than the eight children. But the great evangelist D.L. Moody, one time they asked him, they said, "How many converts did you have last night in your meeting?" And the great evangelist D.L. Moody said, "I had 2.5. And so the person that he said that to said, "Oh, so you mean you had 2 adults and 1 child? He said, "No, I had 2 children and 1 adult. He said, and this is great, "A child converted is an entire life converted." Amen. 2 children, 1 adult. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If some of you, God's been working on your heart about children's ministry, I encourage you to get with my son, Clint. Get with Miss Michelle Hickson about the nursery, or get with Pastor Rich. They'll plug in. They'll get you training and equipping. They'll plug you into a time slot that'll fit your needs, and you can get involved in something that's very dear to the heart of Jesus, children's ministry. Maybe you want to get involved in Awana coming up here in another month or so. I know they always need children's workers. Trust me, if you go to Clint or Rich or Michelle and you say, "I want to be involved with kids," they are not going to turn you away. They'll get you plugged in. And you can get involved in a ministry that is very, very dear to the heart of your Savior. Even if you can only do it once a month, I know it will bless your heart. I didn't preach this message in order to recruit, but it is a great time to do that because you're thinking about it right now. You're thinking about this message. You're thinking about how dear kids are to the heart of Christ. You're thinking about how precious it is to see kids come to Christ and how children can be used of God. And now your mind is thinking on that. If God can use Mrs. Bohannon at 80 years old, He can use you. Think about that. Get with my son, Clint. Get with Rich. Get with Miss Michelle in the nursery. Get involved with kids. I spent the first 10 or 12 years of my Christian life working with children. And I love it. I still love it. There's nothing like it. Their hearts are so tender. They look at you so just wide-eyed. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if you need to make a decision tonight, you make that decision. And then follow through. Have you been praying for our children's ministries? You need to start. Start making that a regular part of your prayer life. Pastor Rob, would you come say a prayer for us? And then we're going to play a verse of invitation.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the challenge tonight. Lord, we thank you for the great report from Brother Clint and Pastor Rich and VBS, and Lord, for the many workers that made it possible for these young children to come and to hear your word and to learn the lessons that were taught, Lord, through the book of Ephesus, or the book of Ephesians, Lord, in that city, Ephesus. Lord, we give you the glory and the credit for what takes place in these children's lives and these that have made a decision to trust you as their Savior. Lord, we rejoice. And we thank you for the many that came, Lord, that already knew you and were able to be grounded and growing and challenged more by your word here, Lord, as children. And Lord, I pray that God, as a church, our vision would be for the young people, Lord, to know how important and how critical it is that we reach them right now, Lord, in the time that they are young people. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we end this service tonight, that Lord, our mind and our hearts, Lord, will be focused on those young people, Lord, as we know that clearly from your word tonight, Lord, you love the little children. So, Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the praise, and we'll thank you for all of this, Lord, in Christ's precious name.